You're listening to Valley Edition. The cost of healthcare in the U.S. has become so untenable that many news outlets now highlight outrageous medical bills, like a $100,000 heart attack or a $56,000 ambulance ride in Texas. But what about the people stuck with costs that aren't as shocking, but are still really tough to pay? For them, there's a new podcast called An Arm and a Leg. It's by former NPR reporter Dan Weissman, who just this week launched season 2. I spoke with him, but before we begin our chat, here's an excerpt from the new trailer.
One thing I've said from the beginning, I am never going to run out of material for this show. And that is definitely checking out. So, here comes season 2.
I don't know which was worse, the pain or the fear of what is this going to cost me. But it was a pretty gnarly situation.
I called 911.
He called 911, and my first thing was, we don't have health insurance. Yeah. Don't do anything.
We just got in the car. As we're walking out of the house, the fire truck and ambulance are pulling up to the front of our house. They're like passing us, like walking out. We're doing one, you know, covering our faces. It wasn't us that called, kind of thing.
So we wanted to make sure that this was actually correct because it seemed insane.
And I asked the CEO of one of the hospitals in California, like, why you charge so much for a hip replacement? He literally said, because sometimes a Saudi sheik comes in with a suitcase full of cash.
That's all coming June 4th, wherever you get podcasts. Or go to armandalegshow.com. Till then, take care of yourself.
So that sounds great. I mean, I really want to hear these stories.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome. Good.
Mm-hmm. And so what was the inspiration for this podcast?
Oh, boy. Well, I had been trying for years when I was a reporter working for Marketplace and for WBEZ. I'd been pitching something like this to people I worked for and saying, like, this is enormous. And these stories, as kind of it says in the trailer, you know, they have everything because they are super intimate and they go up to the very kind of highest levels of, like, economics and politics and policy. So, like, what's not to like? And I think everybody was like, that's great, Dan, but we, you know, we hired you to do this other thing. We still need you to keep doing that.
Right.
So when I left the last job I had, I was like, I could think about freelancing, but, like, where would the health insurance come from? So there was a very immediate impetus, too. There was a very personal side to it, which was like, well, man, like, this is actually the number one issue in my life right now. And that became part of season one, of course.
Right. This is personal for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So things do work out for you, you know, in the end, at least in terms of choosing an insurance plan. Knock on wood. They've worked out
now. So far, so good.
Yeah. But in one of your episodes, I think this is episode 4, you know, you're talking with kind of experts about just the frustration about choosing a health insurance plan. So here in this particular clip I'm about to play, you're talking with a woman named Lynn. She runs a nonprofit healthcare help center in DC, and she's talking about how helpless people feel when choosing their health insurance plans. And she's just told you that surveys show that people literally would rather go to the gym or do their taxes than choose a plan. So I'll play this clip.
They feel that there's something in the fine print they probably missed. So people really want an expert to sit right next to them and help them say this is, in fact, the right health plan.
And she says, this is a smart instinct. Me, I walked in kind of overconfident. I asked Lynn, can I just make a spreadsheet with the deductibles and stuff?
Your health plan could have different deductibles. It could have a general deductible. It could have a pharmaceutical deductible. It could have a hospital deductible.
You're making me feel like going to the gym or doing my taxes.
Exactly.
So you really just captured the frustration of this whole process right there.
Yeah. And luckily, I was talking to somebody that smart and knowledgeable who could tell me, like, no, if you think you're smart enough to do this by yourself, you're dumber than you think.
Sounds about right. And so then, you know, one thing I like about this podcast, too, is that you supplement all of this with really engaging personal stories. And so here's a guy named Blake, a patient who you speak with for episode 6. He's really busted up his knee, and he's told you all about the process of getting a brace for it from the doctor. Here's the clip.
Doctors at a local hospital told him he needed a brace on his leg, and they sent him downstairs to get one. Bam, this thing locks his knee into place.
It's a wonderful device. I mean, it's I love it. I called it the Iron Maiden.
He went into work that day a happy man.
And I was thinking, you know, I wonder what they're going to charge the insurance company for this brace. And I looked on the side and I'm like, hey, you know, Google it. And I Google it. And
$150. figures there'll be a little markup.
I kind of put it in the back of my head. Enjoyed using the brace as much as possible. Yeah, and then the bill came.
And what did it say?
$1,400.
Whoa.
So what I like about this is that it's kind of an everyman story, right? I mean, a lot of folks need medical aids of some sort, and they can probably sympathize with something like that that happens.
Yeah, it's so easy to imagine, right? And and of course, the punchline is that Blake finds this out from getting a statement from his insurance company that says, like, ah, those guys wanted to charge you $1,400. We told them $600, not a penny more. And because you haven't paid your deductible, you're on the hook for the $600. So he's actually expected to pay $600 for a thing he could have ordered himself on Amazon for $150.
Right, and that's almost a lesson right there for listeners, too, for how to do some actual price shopping. So these are, you know, both of these clips that I've played so far, you know, these are stories about the frustrations, the difficulties of you know, shopping for health insurance, of getting medical care. But the purpose of the show is not just to make listeners feel desperate and helpless, right?
No, we hope not. No, that would be bad, because then no one would listen to a second episode ever. Right. No, we're always trying to figure out, like, well, what have I learned? What can I use? And to kind of be good company. This is a show that's intended to be entertaining and intended to be a little, to the greatest extent it's possible, to be empowered in this crazy environment, to be empowering. And so we're always looking for, you know, what's a potentially usable takeaway here, including, like, I'm not all alone in this.
So season two is out right now. What does that look like and what's new this time around?
The first thing that's new is a lot of the stories came straight from listeners. So when we were doing season one, we asked people to send in stories, and people really, really did. And so it was a little overwhelming, in fact, starting to kind of make the story list for season two. Like, well, which of this incredible array of mind-blowing stories, in a lot of cases, will we use and will we feature? And so I think we picked some good ones, and there's lots more where they came from. And so that's a big thing. And in fact, in episode two, there's a couple of things that don't sound like they came from listeners, but they did. They're like, these are experts, or actually kind of hospital administrators, that I was kind of tipped off to the existence of these folks by a tip that came in from a listener very early on. So that's a huge thing. It was one of the things I hoped for in starting the show, was that it wouldn't just be addressing an audience, but really engaging a community of people, and would be a conversation. And so far, people have totally come through with that, and it's awesome. And the other thing is that we're looking, we take a long look, and it's in some ways, it's really just the beginning, just scratching the surface at what's probably the biggest question of all, which is, how did things get so expensive? How did the prices get so high? And we look at three examples. One of them is an MRI. From listeners, I got four different price tags for three MRIs. One of them was one person who went in for an MRI and ended up getting basically two different price tags. And the range was from, the sticker price range was from $1,000 to $26,000.
Oh my gosh.
And the after insurance was from, well, $0 in one case, really, but to then $98 to $2,000. More than 2,000. So we really look at, like, okay, what happened here? And we get help. Actually, this is another new thing from a woman named Elizabeth Rosenthal, who's the editor-in-chief of this amazing nonprofit news organization called Kaiser Health News. They're not related to Kaiser Permanente, except they share an ancestor. In the case of Kaiser Health News, a benefactor, a guy who died a long time ago. She wrote a book about the cost of healthcare. She was a reporter for the New York Times. Now she runs this organization, and she steps in to kind of bat cleanup on that episode and say, like, here's the deal. Here's why MRIs are priced so crazily. We also look at prescription drugs, and we look at insulin, which is a kind of unavoidable one, and turns out to be fascinating. The answer, in some ways, to why insulin's so expensive goes back to when it was discovered. Almost 100 years ago, almost exactly 100 years ago, in 1921. So these instances are really, really revealing and interesting. So we're getting a chance to dig a little deeper into some specifics this time.
Well, it sounds fabulous. I can't wait to listen. Dan Weissman is a podcaster based in Chicago. His podcast about healthcare costs called An Arm and a Leg is debuting its second season this week. Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you.